Hey, Trevor, I've got a really good idea for what movie we should do next. Do you mind if I make a recommendation on what we can do next?
I do mind, actually.
Come on, Trevor. It's my goddamn podcast, too.
You gotta be a little bit angrier.
It's his goddamn podcast too.
This is gonna tie in, I think, to Member Berries and the sheer amount of times that this would play on TV and the amount of times we just absorbed this as kids. But I noticed on this watch the amount of times where I remembered when either a line didn't appear, like the amount of goddams or something like that, or the amount of times where a word was bleeped. So, like on ABC Family, you just have a little mute moment when Mara Wilson was like, "We're his mute damn kids too." And I always thought to myself at age 7, 8, I was like, "What is that? Is that an error?" I didn't really get it.
It's rated PG-13.
Yes.
Honestly, it's closer to PG. I think this movie's closer to R than it is to PG. Just in terms of a lot of things that would go over your head that are very explicit in terms of content.
There's a few scenes where Robin Williams' character, Daniel, makes a couple references about like size and things like that, and a lot of
And
sex
about
jokes.
fucking, yeah.
Yeah, but a lot of it like completely went over my head as a kid. So I'd actually push the other way. I think this is closer to a PG than a PG-13. And then of course there are these rumors that Robin Williams riffed so much that there's a G-rated version of this movie, a PG-rated version of this movie, and then all the way up to an R-rated version of this movie.
Well, I watched this movie a lot on cable, and it was basically PG. Like the middle finger, when he rips the middle finger, that line, that
Yes,
cut.
gone. And so, but this is what I'm talking about, is that this is technically not our wheelhouse of a kids movie. This is not a The Parent Trap. This is not, I don't know, what's another movie that, this is not Scooby-Doo and the Witch's Ghost. Name any movie you've ever done. This is not that kind of
Well, we've
movie.
done
But,
some like hinge cases.
right, we've done those hedge cases. Movies like,
Hedge cases.
say, School of Rock, or God, what's another one that's
We did
really
the
good?
teen movie month,
Yeah, but I'm talking about
which
like Batman and Robin. Batman and Robin
Small
was not a
Soldiers.
movie for kids. I think Small Soldiers is a kids movie,
It
but
was PG-13, though.
yeah, but you know the MPAA, it's all corrupt. But there are movies that
Yeah, I don't
were
know.
not necessarily for children, but were perhaps marketed towards children. And even though they were PG-13, we saw them. We rented them at Blockbuster. They were on ABC Family, and they just became a part of our life due to some sort of juvenile aspect of it. So in this one, of course, you have Robin Williams riffing, which is always funny for everybody, but it's also about a family. Three of the main characters in this film are a 12, a 14, and a 5-year-old. And you can draw comparisons to a movie like School of Rock, which has a lot of the same innuendos about drinking and about sex and about debaucherous behavior as Mrs. Doubtfire does, but it's about a guy who's a teacher and is trying to like help kids come into their own. And you can also probably say the same thing about like Batman and Robin because there's such a cartoonish nature to that movie. So this is just another prime example of a movie that, even though it is technically not a through and through kids movie, it is a movie that came out when we were kids, that was on all the time that we were when we were kids. We were allowed to watch it when we were kids, and it had kids, and it was funny, and it was great. And so I'm happy that we're talking about, for its 30th anniversary, Mrs. Doubtfire.
I think more so this, you could very much make an argument that it's PG because we probably watched this on ABC Family, and that's PG. You know, I think they probably cut a lot of the sex jokes because I forgot. I was like, what? What the hell? They're literally talking. There's a scene where Robin Williams says maybe 10 to 15 different ways of like fucking, like the horizontal tango. Oh, boning, and just,
Yeah.
like a riffing to Pierce Brosnan, just over and over in different
And
types
he's
of
like,
ways of
"Mrs.
saying having
Doubtfire,
sex.
please stop this."
Yes, please stop this. And he just keeps going. It's so good. So I don't remember that as a kid. One, because I didn't understand it, but two, I just don't think that's on that cut,
It's
a lot of those
probably
lines.
not.
Yeah.
But I you could tell me either one and I would believe it, because that's not something that's really staying with, because he's whispering it too. They lower the volume, and it's, I even had to have the subtitles on to hear every
He
single
was.
thing that he was saying, because he was being very quiet about
What do
it.
you mean?
And
What do you mean
so
you had to have them on? You don't watch with subtitles, just generally?
I happened to be watching with subtitles the other day, but I feel
I
like it's a
always do.
combination of certain scenes were definitely cut, certain scenes might not have been cut, but we just kind of weren't paying attention to them. But mm-hmm. you always watch the subtitles?
I usually do. Our speakers are generally just not very good. And yeah, I don't know. I watch with subtitles.
Yeah. I used to when I was a kid. I think that helped me kind of learn lines, just being able to kind of read along while they were there. But as an adult, I've stopped watching because I often find that subtitles spoil the next line. Like, I kind of want to enjoy what's being said as it's being said. So.
But that's not in terms of the movie. That's just in terms of there's a lot of issues with subtitles right now. For people that need subtitles, there's a lot of issues because you want to make the experience basically the same as if you could have it without subtitles.
Yeah, and that's another reason why I don't... I mean, I see foreign films. I went to go see Anatomy of a Fall, which is technically a good amount of that's in English, but, you know, sometimes you kind of want to hear it in their voice. You want to hear the bang in their voice, and that's one of the reasons why it took me so long to get into Inglourious Basterds as a kid, because I liked the quotability of Tarantino, and I couldn't quote movies in French and German, unfortunately, and so... I like seeing the cinematography. I like hearing their voices. I like seeing the set design. And when you're focused on that little one-inch barrier of subtitles, that kind of takes over your viewing experience, for me, in some capacity.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Let's talk about the movie.
Yeah, so Mrs. Doubtfire, 30th anniversary this year. I think it's tomorrow. Oh, by the way, happy Thanksgiving, everybody, here in the States, if you're listening. I hope you all have an excellent Thanksgiving planned. And once again, thank you, everybody, for your patience as we've taken a little time to get some things done these past couple of months. You know, we're recording this, I think, about 2.5-3 weeks before the episode's being released because I'm going on vacation for more than a week. Trevor, do you want to share anything about your life stuff or no?
I'm back in Boston for a week and a half.
Yeah. So we've just been traveling, doing stuff. And so, thank you so much for your patience. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode on Christmas, and then 2 weeks after that for a Christmas special before we take our usual season end. But rest assured, we're back starting now. So thank you again for your patience there. Anyways, when this movie came out, it got kind of decent reviews. It got 53 on Metacritic. It was just kind of middling. It got a lot of comparisons to movies like Some Like It Hot and Tootsie, which of course feature men in drag for various reasons. I've never seen Tootsie. I've seen Some Like It Hot. I quite like Some Like It Hot. It had a $25 million budget, made $440 million worldwide. So a absolutely enormous, successful film here in the United States and worldwide. Won the Golden Globe for Best Comedy and for Best Actor for Robin Williams. And it won the Academy Award for Best Makeup, an award shared by the likes of Suicide Squad.
Yeah, I mean, the makeup in Suicide Squad is very good.
Mm-hmm. Suicide Squad or The Suicide Squad?
The original one, Suicide.
Yeah, with Will Smith.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Makeup in that's very good. Probably very
good. I think this is one of the movies that I think culturally critics just kind of got wrong. And it's definitely gotten a reappraisal. It has a pretty good contemporary Rotten Tomatoes score. But unfortunately, did not really, in the eyes of the critics, start off on the wrong foot. And now it's... Everybody knows Mrs. Doubtfire. Everybody's seen Mrs. Doubtfire.
I think probably it, because at the time they weren't talking about maybe the datedness, the potential transphobicness of the movie, and some of the I guess just gender issues in the movie. They weren't criticizing that. And honestly, rewatching it, there isn't as much as I thought. It's really not that bad. And I'm saying this as a cis man, but I'm reading things. I'm reading, like, trans perspectives on it, and it isn't that bad. There is some content that's there that is, you know, not okay and very dated, but it's not as bad as I thought it would be. Like, I thought I would be like, oh, I'm buckling in. I'm ready for a lot of these jokes, and it really wasn't there, but I do think the critics miss that the comedy in this movie just hits. The jokes just hit. Robin Williams is a comedic master. He's a really, really good and talented comedian that thrives in this role.
Something I didn't look up on this, and frankly I should right now, is I don't really know where Robin Williams was. I mean, obviously he was big, but I don't know how many Robin Williams movies were we getting a year when this came out. I'm seeing, like, he had 4 movies in 1991. He had 3 movies in 1992, and then he had 1 in 1993. So I can kind of see, this is kind of like the situation with Jim Carrey, where, like, in 94, 95, it was like a string of movies where it's like, okay, they're good, but it's a lot. And Granted, there's a little bit more diversity here in the performances. He got nominated for an Oscar for The Fisher King in 91. Of course, he had Aladdin, but I can hear this argument that we're a little bit Robin Williams saturated going into 93. But, and again, same with Jim Carrey in 94 and 95. And so by the time some of those later movies kind of come out, you're like, okay, we've had enough. There's nothing special about this. But then I think when you have a few years removed, when you're looking back on this run in 97, 98, if you're in 97, 98, 99, and you're looking back on that run, it's easy for like the really, really good ones to stand out. And I think that maybe in the moment, at least in terms of critics, Mrs. Doubtfire wasn't appreciated because it was just Robin Williams' barrage. Whereas kind of letting the dust settle and looking back on it, you could argue the case, okay, well, that one was the standout of this one. That's the one we're going to revisit from Robin Williams' filmography from like 91 to 93. You know what I mean?
He was big. What would you say his biggest movie? Well, Dead Poets Society, I think, is his biggest movie at the time. And then
he had Dead Poets Society in 89. He had Hook and the Fisher King in 91. And then in 92, he had Aladdin.
Right. And, I mean, that movie's just freaking awesome.
Dead Poets Society? It's good. We don't get enough Robin Williams in it, though. That's my only issue.
You don't think so?
No, I mean, we're really only relegated to the classroom scenes with him. It's mainly about the kids, which it's fine. But I've always, every time I watched that movie, I was thinking, like, he's the star of this movie, but he's really not. I feel like he's more of a supporting role in that film.
He's the biggest name in the movie.
100%.
At the time, obviously, right? But you will definitely enjoy The Holdovers.
Okay, I'm going to see that in just a couple hours. So really excited about that, which means that we have about an hour and change to finish wrapping up about this movie. A couple more fun facts about it. Blake Lively unsuccessfully auditioned for the role of Natalie Hillard. Blake Lively as Robin Williams' daughter. That would have been a fun moment in history.
Wow. Yeah, that would be strange.
Yeah. And then Tim Allen was offered the roles of both Daniel, who becomes Mrs. Doubtfire, and Stu, but turned them both down. I'm glad we have this movie with Robin Williams.
And Pierce Brosnan.
Yes.
Like, it would be weird if it was not, you know, fucking James Bond.
I can just imagine, I'm thinking about Tim Allen as, like, the toy soldier in Santa Claus 2 as Mrs. Doubtfire. Like, hello! follow all the rules.
Tim Allen does his like one voice. It's his one voice, and it's a good one voice, but it really is just his one voice. Yes. I'm looking for side note. I am very much looking forward to doing Galaxy Quest next year.
So, is that a kids movie?
Yeah, I would consider.
I've never
it.
Seen
it's,
Galaxy
it's,
Quest.
It's watchable. It's PG. And it's a movie. So here's the thing. It's a movie that parents would have shown their kids or seen with their kids, because if they're big Star Trek fans, they would take their kids like, hey, look, this is a Star Trek movie and it's PG and it's got Tim Allen in. Why don't you come see with me? And it's like becoming one of my absolute favorites.
Trevor, I'm looking at next year's docket for the show and I see seven open time slots with your name on it. So slot it on in.
Okay. So do you remember the first time you saw this movie?
I don't think anyone does who's my age.
Same.
This is just one of those movies that it was on at a family party. Mm-hmm. It was on TV and we caught 20 minutes of it at a time. Mm-hmm. There's no, it just came out of nowhere for people. Because I mean, it came out in 93. I was born in 94. So this movie is older than me, but it was just always on. It was always around. And I think that for kids, this was the Robin Williams movie that wasn't a kiddie movie like Flubber, and also had his physical acting in a way that we couldn't necessarily see in Aladdin that really brought us in and was like, this was our next like step in the Robin Williams filmography that we could kind of latch onto. I would also say what really stood out for me on this, and I know that you'll agree, is that this is one of the first non-Full Housey families that we really see in a movie that isn't not for kids. So
what,
you know, it's because I feel like most families in PG movies are happy, or if they're divorced then they're like kind of cool. This is a divorce movie, and this is probably the first time I ever heard the word divorce was in this movie. I didn't really know much about it. A lot of my family friends, like, none of their parents were divorced, and so this was something that as a concept this was probably one of the first pieces of media that introduced me to it.
I think it introduced you to an idea of, well, this and the Santa Claus, for what it's worth. When was the Santa Claus again?
94, technically.
94, technically. So both of them kind of teach you about divorce and those situations. And I think this, I mean, it does simplify it, where she's just like, I want a divorce. That is, like, in the middle of an argument, that isn't really how things happen. It's not just like 0 to 100 and then, oh, we're divorced. Hooray. Like, it's not really how it works. It's a little bit more complicated than, I mean, maybe sometimes you get in an argument and all the kids would hear and then you're just divorced, but I don't really think that's how most divorces happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good cinema. Like, that, it's easy to just portray information and then kind of move on, right?
Yeah. How about you? What was your first experience with this?
Oh, the same. I don't know. It's been on. I think I'll just say that I think I've seen this movie more times in chunks than I've seen it all the way through.
100%.
Because that's just how it was. It's always on ABC Family. It's one of those movies. It also is shown, I think, around this time always. Like, this is the time it's shown, November into December.
Because even though it's a divorce movie, it is a family movie. It's about, you know, a father who really, really, like, this is his whole thing. And this is something that, you know, Robin Williams did this for Hook, is that he wants to be a dad. Like, a lot of media focuses on the father who's the workaholic who realizes he has to spend more time with his kids, even if he does realize that. This is a movie about a guy who realizes he has to grow up, but just wants to be with his kids. And that's a portrayal of a father that media doesn't really give us much of.
Yeah, I agree that this is a really, really nice movie. It's a good portrayal of a father because he really loves his kids. Like, you can see in one of the last scenes in the courtroom where he's just heartbroken, the fact that he knows he can't see his kids or he has to have a supervised visit with his kids. That breaks him.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, like, it does make sense from the court's perspective. And watching it now, I'm like, okay, yes, his behavior is very unhinged. Mm-hmm. Like, basically dressing up as someone else. It's not the fact that, and this is what I think the movie does do a good job positively on rewatch. It's not the fact that he's dressed up as a woman, and this movie doesn't really say that. It's the fact that he tricks the mother and the kids into dressing up as a different person.
Mm-hmm.
He's a completely different person. Like, he could have been like an old Irish grandfather, and it would have done the same trick. But I think that because housekeeper, she was probably looking for a woman because the 90s, and it's a little bit more matriarchal in that sense.
And also, I'm sure if he dresses a guy, it would be more suspicious.
Yeah, sure.
I think this is also, there's some source material on this where like, it's based on a book or a novel or something like that, or a play, where this is the source material. So they had to go off of that too.
Yeah, I don't know too much about the source material, but I think the comparisons to Tootsie and Some Like It Hot are pretty apparent. And I think they're all very watchable movies and entertaining movies with their own issues, but also their own reasons to watch. Mm. And in 2023, especially 2024, whenever people are listening to this.
Well, with that said, do you want to jump into the movie?
Yes.
All right. I can't think of a good transition, but let's head on into, for its 30th anniversary, Mrs. Doubtfire.
To put his family back together, Daniel Hillard needed a job and a decent home for his kids.
How do you like it?
Can't you just tell Mom you're sorry?
But he found a way.
I'm placing an ad for a housekeeper.
Housekeeper? Could you make me a woman?
To have both.
Wow.
Let's pray.
Euphigenia Doubtfire.
He's still the same old dad. Only better.
Dinner is served, madam.
Wow. I'd love to get reacquainted.
Can't you see the lust in that man's eyes?
Accent's a little kind of muddled there.
Really? Well, so's your tan.
This holiday season.
Surprise.
Robin Williams. Sally Field.
Who needs a husband when I've got you?
In a Chris Columbus film.
Back off!
Mrs. Doubtfire.
All right, Trevor, what do you like about Mrs. Doubtfire?
Well, I think we've already talked about it, but Robin Williams. So right away, the first scene, you're kind of hooked immediately.
911, police, civic authorities, ASPCA, ASAP, murder, betrayal, kidnapped, no, burnapped!
A cup of garlic, a twist of parakeet. Eat your heart out, Julia Child.
Excuse me, but isn't it customary for the jailbird to get one telephone call?
In your case, I think not. Afternoon snacks have very few civil liberties, but I'm not wholly without art. How about a nice, soothing cigarette?
Oh, I will not do this. I cannot. Oh, what a foul way for a bird to die.
He's doing all these different voices, watching cartoons, and it just establishes right away how he could get away with this kind of thing, his character. Yeah, that's why it works, is because he's so good at jumping into characters immediately and having fun voices and just being a different person and character. And it's really, really fun just watching him, Robin Williams, do thing he does best, which is be goofy, be silly, be a showman, be like, do it all, perform.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's fantastic.
Yeah, so, he's. Yeah. It's obviously the biggest draw of this film is exactly how, or specifically how great he is as a performer. You'll hear no complaints from me on that. But I think one other thing that I want to call out, especially because she's kind of buried under Robin Williams, the performance that stuck out to me in this watch was Sally Fields.
You chose the career, Miss.
I have no choices here, Daniel. I have no choices. Even when I try to do something fun, you have to do it 10 times bigger. I bring home a birthday cake and a few gifts. You bring home the goddamn San Diego Zoo and I have to clean up after.
Oh, I'm sorry, but it's not toxic waste. It's a few party plates,
Why
huh?
am I the only one that feels there has to be rules?
Oh,
why do you always make me out to be the heavy?
Oh, I don't make you out to be anything. You do it yourself,
oh,
quite naturally,
you set
Miranda.
Me up, Daniel, every time.
Oh, I don't set you. Oh, lighten up, will you? Just realize you're spending too much time with those corporate clones you used to despise.
I spend too much time with you, Daniel. It's over. It's over.
She's got a tough role in this movie because she's the bad guy in this film.
Yes, she is the bad guy. And again, on second watch, or not second watch, but watching now, you understand her character a lot more. Because at the beginning of the movie, Robin Williams, he's a great dad, but he's not a great partner.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a good husband because he's always going to be made out to be the good guy. And he doesn't know how to cook. He doesn't know how to do all these things. And he doesn't really work. He can't hold a job. But he loves his kids. He has redeeming qualities and he has issues. And it does make sense that he needs to resolve these things. He gets a clean apartment. He learns how to kind of be a little bit more of an adult so that he can be a good example to his kids and not always make her the bad guy, her the monster, as she says. And that is exhausting because she just comes home from work. She has a really stressful job. She comes home and she has to deal with like 4 children in a way.
Yeah.
So I think that she does a really, really great job. She's a phenomenal actress in a very tough role because she does play the hateable character. But watching it now, I don't think she's as hateable. Her character, her stance is very understandable.
Yeah, no, entirely. It's sad, of course, because again, you're rooting for Robin Williams' character, but it's nothing that she says or does. I mean, I would say with the exception of, you know, I don't think his request to see the kids after school and take care of them was entirely unreasonable. And but I understand why she was like frustrated, and especially because she was like, I'll think about it. She wasn't going to think about it. But as soon as she said it, I'll think about it, Natalie swears in front of her.
We're his goddamn kids, too.
Kids say the darndest things.
Thank you. Any other choice phrases you'd like to teach our 5-year-old, Daniel?
She says that she'll think about it just because they're doing it in front of the kids and it's tough.
Right. Exactly. Like, and she is not going to think about it. But let's just for a minute entertain the idea that maybe she will think about it. And then Natalie swears. She's like, okay, well, there goes the thought of me thinking about it.
Yes. And that's what's really sad is this movie wouldn't exist if they acted like reasonable adults together. Because, yeah, of course, we can... Well, one, it was the court's decision. because they were deciding on custody, and the court wouldn't allow the visitation. She was just siding with the court.
Well, I don't know. Not on the first, on the second one, absolutely. The second one, I think they were a lot more stringent. But on the first one, I'm sure she, I mean, because someone needed to watch the kids anyway, so I'm sure she could have said, like, I'd like for them to go with my husband for a few days. I'm sure that would have been easy. If she could backtrack on what she did at the end, I think she could backtrack on what she did.
You're right. Well, they just tore up the documents and everything.
Yeah, or they threw him in the fireplace and said, I want you to come visit the kids whenever you have time.
Santa?
Can't wait to watch Santa Claus 2 this year. It's almost time. Let's see. Do you have any generals, other generals? Because I've got a lot of scenes.
Definitely some generals. I think that the overall comedy and the setups of jokes and situations, it goes back to basics. And I think the script kind of goes back to basics, too. It's a simple kind of premise, but all of the actual elements of comedy really work. And you have all these setups, and it leads perfectly to the big climax where he's at the restaurant. And you kind of hope there's a mini scene where he's going back and forth between Daniel and Mrs. Doubtfire when the employment officer, who is that old lady? The English one.
Her name is, her name is Polly something. She plays, this is one of my member berries. She was one of the Marvas in The Parent Trap.
Okay. But she's, you know what, I'm just like, whatever her job is, she has to go to Robin Williams' apartment and inspect him, make sure he has a livable place. So that scene is great when they're going back and forth. And then you're thinking, how is he going to get into a situation where he has to be at the same place as both characters in a more complicated scenario? And they give you that at the restaurant. And of course, they give you a little leeway that, of course, it's at the same restaurant. Of course, it's at the same time. Of course, it's the same day.
I'm going to get to that and things that I didn't like on this.
But you have to just say, okay, fine, just to get to that situation. Because it is an entertaining situation. It is frantic. It is exciting. And there's a lot of fun comedy there, especially when he sits down in Mrs. Doubtfire outfit. And I guess he has to roll with it. It's like, I guess this is the host of the show.
So you're saying a lot of things that I want to go scene by scene on. Do you have any more generals before we jump into those scenes more in depth?
The problem is, the biggest general we can both give is Robin Williams. And overall, the other acting, Pierce Brosnan, of course, too. And the comedy and everything. Oh, also the makeup. I also want to just quickly shout out.
The Oscar-winning makeup.
Yeah, the transforming Robin Williams to Mrs. Doubtfire is great. And it's also impressive that they can make it, and the costuming, they can make it so they can use it in the movie, that he can do back and forth in those scenes. He can quickly change. It isn't something that you need to have several hours and transform him, and that's it. He has to be like that for the scenes.
Well, yes, I see what you mean. Yes, the practicality of it. Absolutely.
The practicality of it, especially when the mask rips off. Like, that's hard to pull off.
Yeah.
It's really hard to pull off, and really props there. Where I was going with this is, a lot of the positives do come from the lines and the specific moments, because that's what's funny. This movie is a comedy. It is a really, really funny comedy. And I found myself laughing hysterically. I watched this very late at night, at like midnight, and I was just laughing hysterically because there's so many great moments. And it's not a big, this is a great, like, it makes you feel this. It makes you laugh. So what are some moments, AJ?
All right. Well, starting chronologically, I started out with this is not really a funny scene, but it's a scene that I think is pretty heartfelt. And it's, you're my goddamn kids too.
Yeah.
That's Mom.
No, it's not. Can't be. She's an hour early.
Come on, Daddy. We gotta go.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Come on. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. You don't have to run off when she honks the horn. Come on. You're on my time now. You're my goddamn kids too.
Because this is where you start to see his frustration. Because you mentioned, you know, you don't just get divorced by saying, I want a divorce in the middle of a fight, and then it's over. But for whatever it's worth, they have this conversation, and then he moves out, and he's like, this is going to blow over. And he talks to his mom, this is going to blow over. And then he goes to work, he's like, this is going to blow over. And then the next thing you know, you see him in the court. So it's not like it went from her saying that immediately to the court. You have him kind of convincing himself that there's still a way to work it out, and then he finds out that he doesn't get to see his kids very often, and then he does have this time with his kids, he's in the situation he doesn't like, And it all kind of boils up to this moment where, you know, you were an hour late dropping them off, you're an hour early picking them up, and he just gets angry. And this is, I think, setting the tone for the kind of movie that we're going to see. Is, yeah, there's Robin Williams who's going to be doing some riffing at the unemployment office, but there's also going to be a lot of heart and a lot of sincerity in this performance.
Well, I want to call out the scene where he is doing voices at the employment office, because that scene's fantastic.
What do you mean you do voices?
Well, I do voices.
Yes!
We've come to this planet looking for intelligent life. Oops, we made a mistake.
We're happy to be in America. Don't ask for a green card.
I want you in the worst way.
Well, this is certainly a rough meeting, and it's not going very well for me, I'll tell you that. Hey, boss, give it a chance. She's going to loosen up any moment.
Look at me right now, Moneypenny. I want to undo that bow and get to know you.
I'm crazy to make a deal with you!
Nancy and I are still looking for the other half of my head.
Idiot! You're doing it! I'm sitting on a gold mine!
Don't make me smack you, sweetheart. I'll do it.
Figaro!
I do a great impression of a hot dog.
Mr. Hillard, do you consider yourself humorous?
I used to. There was a time when I found myself funny. But today, you have proven me wrong. Thank you.
He's, again, another great scene of just watching Robin Williams be Robin Williams and act his heart out and perform his heart out, do a lot of little impressions, and then saying, here's my impression of a hot dog. And my favorite line is, do you find yourself humorous? Like, there was a time where I did find myself funny, but I no longer do, thanks to you.
Yeah.
You poor Mrs. Selmer. I know.
Yes, I like that scene. Do you like the You're My Goddamn Kids Too scene?
That is a great scene. I love how heartfelt it is. And you can feel like he doesn't, he has to be a professional, but he really hates it. Mm-hmm. He really, really hates how this situation, and he's trying his best as a father. Like, look, I'm trying, like, oh, we got our food, and he's making the silly alien voices and the toad. He's like, toad.
And then, of course, you got Natalie with the saying the line. Any other choice phrases you'd like to teach our 5-year-old Daniel?
I mean, it was pretty rude. She was an hour late and an hour early. Come on. Yeah,
she just doesn't have time for it. She's got to get the dry cleaning. And
she has to go to the market. She has to pick up the newspaper, put an ad in the paper.
All right. Next scene. I think you're going to not like this scene. Do you like the scene where he's making all the phone calls as the different people?
Yeah, my name is Ilse Immelmann, and I want to know how many children do you have?
I have 2 girls and a boy.
Oh, a boy. I don't work with the males, because I used to be one.
Yikes. Hello?
Layla, get back in your cell. Don't make me get the hose.
Hello?
I am Job.
Do you speak English?
I am Job.
I'm sorry, the position has been filled.
That scene's great. They're, well,
I was worried you'd be like, he's offensive, he's appropriating other cultures.
He is a little, I mean, he is doing some offensive accents, but that I'll get that to that later. But I like the idea there. The scene, it's a very appropriate scene of doing silly voices, and it's a funny plan of a bunch of people that should not have the job, and then he goes in for the kill, as he says. It's like the sweetest possible person he could imagine.
I am Job.
Yeah, that one did not hold up well.
I'm a big I am Job.
I am Job.
Next scene that I had was after the interview when he gets back to his apartment and Mrs. Selmer comes to visit.
Just make yourself at home. I'll be right back. He'll be back. I'll go get him. Don't be afraid. I'll be right there. Don't worry. Danny! Danny, boy, where are you? Oh, here he is. Here, I found him. Danny, there's a Mrs. Selmer here to see you.
Oh, is she here?
Yes, dear, she is. Oh, Mrs. Selmer, I just got out of the shower. I think you'll be very pleased with me. I've been through some really interesting changes.
He talks about this one a lot, but, I mean, the back and forth, the kineticism in this scene, of the clothes on, clothes off, talking to himself, the mask, the English tea, the hello.
Yes.
I mean, him changing and the kids laughing at him, the mask dropping. This is, I think this is the scene. I think it's this one, and then you talked about it a little bit later. We'll talk about the bridges scene, but I think this is the scene that people think about when they think of this movie.
You think so?
This and the bridges scene, for sure.
I think that I really liked the first introduction of Mrs. Doubtfire to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that's the first time we really see Mrs. Doubtfire, right? In as a character.
Yeah, it is, but nothing really stood out to me except for the part when the two things that stick out to me is him, like, telling the wife, like, maybe you shouldn't, like, shit talk your husband in front of your kids.
Well, and then also the scene where it wasn't funny, but it was sweet. It was endearing.
Yeah, but I liked the moment when Mrs. Doubtfire is, like, making tea, and she's like, well, you certainly know your way around the kitchen. And he's like, oh, crap, I'm going to get exposed. And
yes.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was just a very sweet scene and a good almost transition from, okay, we have the premise, we have the setup, now let's get into the good stuff. But I don't know. It was really sweet.
Yeah. I thought it was serviceable, but not as standouty as I remembered. But the sure. Mrs. Selner coming to visit was really up there for me.
That was a good one.
Danny! Coming, sis!
It's weird that they didn't have a third scene with the bus driver.
Did they not? They just have two?
I think it was just the two. And those were... I'd say this movie is riddled with adult jokes.
Yeah.
Because it's PG-13. So I don't know if we can really have a section of adult jokes, and we'll just have to be included in here.
All the adult jokes I have are, like, basically the sex stuff. Next scene I have was Mrs. Doubtfire warning Miranda not to sleep with Stu. And she's like, how long after Mr. Doubtfire? She's like, never. Never. This is the vow you make as a married woman.
Life
total
of celibacy.
Yeah. Celibacy.
I love the laugh he does. He's like, as Mrs. Doubtfire, like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, Winston and I were a delightful couple. Oh, he lost it to the drink.
He was hit by a Guinness truck.
Hit by a Guinness truck, dear.
Oh, man, one of my favorite moments of the Banshees of Inisherin is where Colin Farrell's telling that guy, he's like, oh, your dad just got hit by, it was like a milk truck or a bread truck, and he's like, that's how my mom died. It's the same guy, I'll kill him. let me ask, in hindsight, is that movie higher on your list of your favorite movies from 2022?
Oh, I don't remember. Maybe. I forget where I put it, but it's good. I should rewatch it.
Yeah, it's only kept climbing for me. Like, it was my number three originally, and now it's my number two, and I could definitely see it taking over the spot from RRR.
No, sorry. I mean, RRR is still the best.
But yeah, it's still the best for me, too. Don't worry. But it beat out The Northman for my number two spot.
That's cool. I think that just for this, though, back to this, I love the little mannerisms he does as Mrs. Doubtfire. Because Mrs. Doubtfire is her own character, like, that he's creating. And he does a really good job at performing all these little mannerisms. And that's what's fun, is she's just like a cartoon character that he is playing. She's not a real person and everything. But he slowly creates that, this, like, mythos and history for her character. Like, oh, I had a husband. Like, oh, I was in England. And then...
I played football.
I played football. English football, dear. So I really like the... just these small mannerisms he adds to her performance. He's a very physical actor as well as his vocal acting. Robin Williams is just a phenomenal performer. It's really sad.
So, what else do you like about this movie? Any other scenes? I got a bunch, but...
Flyby fruiting?
Oh, and I was in... that came out as Aldous Snow from Fire Marshal. Oh, I saw that guy. An angry member of the kitchen staff.
Yeah.
Did you not tip him? The moment when he's given eyes to that girl ordering drinks,
yes.
He's like, put it on my tab. She's like, yeah, no thanks.
No thanks. And Pierce Brosnan, here's the thing about his character, about Stu. He's not really that much of a bad guy. He's not a bad guy.
He's not at all. He's just kind of
disses
Daniel, but that's about it.
He's just a guy.
Likes the kids. He likes the mom. He makes a lot of money.
Yeah.
No shame in any of it.
He's like a character in one of those Hallmark movies that isn't like a bad boyfriend, but just kind of there.
Have you seen Sweet Home Alabama?
No. Why would I do that
okay.
to myself?
Well, maybe you're like me and have a girlfriend who loves that movie a lot and makes you watch it. But There's a guy in the movie, in that movie, who reminds me a lot of Stu.
I don't even know what this movie. Oh, it has a Reese Witherspoon, a young woman who. This is a Hallmark movie. This is the plot of a Hallmark movie.
It's a glorif. It's Brooklyn's evil twin. Because it's like she has to choose: do I want to go be successful in my new life in New York, or do I want to go back to my roots and find the guy in Alabama waiting for me? And it's Brilliant. Brooklyn's evil twin. Yeah.
Well, Brooklyn's a good movie.
Exactly.
Brooklyn is.
I stand by everything I said. All right, next scene. This is just before the pool scene. I know you're not going to agree with me fully here, but given the times and given the context of the scene, I have no qualms in saying that I love the scene when the kids find out that Mrs. Doubtfire is actually a man.
Lydia, come on. We got to call the cops. We got to go on 911 now.
Why?
Well, Mrs. Doubtfire, he's a she.
What?
He's half man, half woman.
What?
Yes, I swear.
Wait, what? No, just calm down.
Freeze!
Just relax, please.
He's going to get it.
In the balls.
Yeah. She's got him. She's got everything.
You like this scene?
I really like this scene because the reactions in general are hysterical, where the kids are like freaking out. And I think what you can, if I can get ahead of where I'm sure you're going to come from in this scene, they're mad about the imposter side of things, I think. Because they clearly feel like Mrs. Doubtfire is not who she says she is.
They think more so someone is dressed up as Mrs. Doubtfire, and they're correct.
Right.
Like they don't think that Mrs. Doubtfire has gone through any transition or anything. It feels like they're more like, oh, okay, this is a guy dressed up as Mrs. Doubtfire, I think is what they think. The only thing is like, oh, let's call the police. Mrs. Doubtfire is a man. I'm like, what?
Yeah, exactly. And I'll hit you in the balls. Does he have balls? He has everything.
See,
she's got everything.
Yeah, I think that's definitely more along the lines of things that don't age well. And I think why people get some kind of transphobia or things, or more so perpetuating things that aren't really appropriate anymore, or just aren't really appropriate.
I think this is the scene that people will point to and say, like,
yes.
Oh, this movie's like, it doesn't hold up in 2023.
I think that this is the scene that I'd say is one, like I say, I think this is part of the culprit. I think other scenes more so in court are actually more appropriate. And like the reaction of Stu and Sally, Halleck Hawkins' character, Sally Fields' character, those are the reactions that are okay because she's just mad that he lied to her.
Precisely.
And that he dressed up as someone else. This one I think is the more problematic one because this is the whole fear where people are like, oh, if a man transitions into a woman, then they're a pedophile. You know, they want to hang out with kids. And I think that's the big issue with this scene and this movie.
Yeah.
Other than this scene, though, I think the rest of it is fairly okay.
Yeah, and I think everything that you just said is entirely true, which is why I even have some misgivings about saying that part of me likes it and part of me can throw myself back as a 12-year-old in the 90s and be like, I understand why this scene was put in the movie. And I also just like how haywire they're freaking out. And I love the whole watch your mouth, young man. And the second it switches.
Yes.
I also really love the moment when the kids are like, do you like being in that clothes? He's like, I don't go to old lady bars after work, which that line I wrote down is being very funny.
That was like, do you like it? He's like, no, I don't know. It's just fun. I wanted to see you every day. I don't want to blame anybody for like laughing at this as a kid, obviously, because this is a lot of movies were making this type of stuff the butt of a joke. And he's never the butt of a joke. Mrs. Doubtfire is never the butt of a joke. Mrs. Doubtfire is only the butt of a joke because she's a weird old lady from England and is just a little, dresses like an old grandma from England. But it's never that Robin Williams is dressed up as Mrs. Doubtfire, except for those little kids. But they're more just like, oh, this is bizarre. He's wearing a fat suit. Like, that's what those like kids across the street are laughing at. I think that we're taught as in the 90s and stuff that this was a funny joke. That it was normal because this was there's a lot more butts of the joke that I'll get to shortly of like, oh, guy dressing up as a woman, because this isn't I don't think this is necessarily like a trans story or a trans character. It's closer to cross-dressing than anything else. And even then, I think this is closer to someone dressing up as someone else in order to do like a disguise. It's a disguise mm-hmm. rather than a dressing up as
right.
a man dressing up as a woman or cross-dressing movies. There's like a genre, you know? I think the Mixed Reviews did something.
Yeah, like, I mean, well,
Body Swap, not
cool. Shout out Mixed Reviews. But like, Some Like It Hot. But I think just kind of going back to that earlier point, it's like my comedy in this, or where I think the comedy comes from, to me, it's like Michael Scottism to an extent, where it's like you're not necessarily laughing at what Michael said. You're laughing at the reaction, like, oh, my God, I can't believe he said that. And just like seeing it, that 12-year-old boy kind of reacts that way, it just made me laugh.
Yeah, I get that. And again, if you're 12 years old watching this in 1992 or 95, 96, I get it. It's funny mm-hmm. then. I just more so know now I can understand the not even backlash at the time, just the retrospective looking at this. Like I said, there's not that much of it in this movie, surprisingly. Because mm-hmm. Robin Williams, they actually do a pretty good job of defending the fact that it shouldn't be this shouldn't be an issue. He just wants to see his kids. And the issue isn't that he dressed up as a woman to do this. Again, it's the issue that he lied and tricked everybody into being someone else to see his kids. Like, just basically created a fake identity to see his kids and tricked everybody. Which,
yeah,
that's just weird. That comes across as just weird and unhinged.
Yeah. And to your earlier point, like, obviously this is, I would say, a relatively progressive film. Like, Daniel's got two brothers, and there's not, like, there's a couple, like, I would say, flamboyant jokes made about them. Like, obviously they work in, like, fashion and makeup.
Yeah.
But other than that, it takes place in San Francisco. Like, I feel like it's not, there's no shame here on the filmmaker side to that community at all.
So what's really interesting, that the owner of the Mrs. Doubtfire house was I don't know if they still own it, but it's a doctor that is one of like the best plastic surgeons that helps trans people with facial surgery to help them kind of fit the gender more, which is really interesting.
Fascinating.
So yeah, it's almost fitting where the owner of that house is a very positive, I think a very positive force in the trans community for this type of surgery. That's cool. All right, what are some other things you like?
Daniel riffing on the dinosaur set.
Oh, yeah, so fun.
It's time for the raptor rap. I'm a raptor doing what I can. Gonna eat everything till the appearance of man. Yo, yo, see me. I'm living below the soil. I'll be back, but I'm coming as oil.
I would love to have watched Robin Williams
as oil
host a PBS show, PBS Kids show.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to watch Mrs. Doubt, the show that he was doing with the chimpanzee. That's so delightful. I would watch that.
you just listen to him answer letters?
No. When he was like doing the chimps, the chimpanzee with the
Muppet. But the last scene is him answering the letters.
Sure, the letter is fine, but it's more so the silly back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
I come from England. It's a wonderful island. It's just lovely.
An island.
So, I also love when Robin Williams is like talking about how shitty the current TV show is. It's like, oh man, what idiot put this guy on the air for 25 years? And the owner of the TV station, like, I did.
Like, oh shit. A lot of self-deprecation in that guy. Yes. I thought he was really funny.
He was funny too. Nah, I'm canceling it. This sucks.
All right. Is the time here that we can talk about the scene at Bridges?
Sure.
Again, it's this in the scene with Mrs. Selner, but these are like the two respective parts of the movie. And I think that I like the Mrs. Selner one is because it's understandable how that situation happens. I'll talk a little bit later about how unbelievable this situation is from a practicality standpoint.
Sure.
But it goes on for so long. It does not feel tiresome. It earns its mm-hmm. length when it's going back and forth. You feel the frustration. I feel like the score might even intensify a little bit as the sequences progress.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know. I think it earns its length, and it's really, really, it's a really, really fun climax. The only thing that doesn't really age well, and just because this isn't a thing anymore, it's dated rather, is smoking and non-smoking section. Because that's not
smoking.
Really a thing. It's not really a thing anymore.
Are there any restaurants that allow smoking anymore? Like, probably. Mars?
I mean, not really in the U.S. In other countries, yes, but not really here.
Yeah. Well, this scene is great. You mentioned it earlier, but the scene where he kind of goes away, and I didn't pick up on this as a kid, but the fact that he's getting more and more drunk because he's having three scotches at one table with one guy, then he's off having wine with his wife and Stu and everybody. And so that's why he's getting mixed up. That's why he's in the outfit as Mrs. Doubtfire going back to sit with his boss. It's brilliant stuff. But that went way over my head as a kid. And it culminates the fact that he was drunk.
Oh, yeah. Totally sloshed. I mean, both of them were sloshed at that point. Mm-hmm. How many scotches did he drink? Five?
I think at least he started off with two. Then I think they brought him two more. So at least three to four. But it all culminates in this incredible scene of everybody finding out that he is Mrs. Doubtfire.
Daniel! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! The whole time?
Oh, I'm sorry, Miranda, please.
Don't talk to me! Don't touch me! Don't touch me! I have to go. We have to leave now. I have to leave. We have to leave now. I have to go.
The whole time.
The only thing that doesn't super hold up is, do you really think Mr. Lundy would allow him to host a TV show after that that whole circus? Running not, over no. and tackling Pierce Brosnan with the Heimlich?
I don't think so at all. He must be pretty desperate.
But you want to have a good ending. You want a satisfying.
Yes.
This is a comedy. This is not.
It's a dramedy.
I'd say it's a comedy. There are very sweet moments and tender moments, but this is a comedy. This is not The Holdovers. This is not Alexander Payne.
I will be able to comment on that in about 4 hours.
Well, you know, like, his movies are all dramas, but they're very funny.
Yeah.
Like, I'd say they have a lot of comedy. Like, The Descendants, that's not a comedy, but it's really fucking funny.
I'm really waiting for, like, a really shitty blizzard day in Massachusetts where Allison and I have nothing to do to show her Manchester by the Sea.
Oh, God.
Because, like, I feel like that's the way you have to watch that movie. Good one, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
But the fact that it's just such a light at the end of the tunnel movie, and the fact that it can nail that after being such a dour and depressing film, but you still kind of leave grinning, it's beyond impressive.
Yes. And what I like about this movie, just to go back to the movie we're talking about, Mrs. Doubtfire, is this is about a really serious thing, is custody, which is a really hard topic to tackle. And I actually think this handled it really, really well in terms of just, like, positive meaning and positive light on this topic. Mm-hmm. I don't know. This is a very wholesome movie by the end of it, because I think his character, he grows, and his core character is good. It's not like he's creating, like, the toxic stuff about him, about Robin Williams' character, is that he's just not a very good partner, but he's a great dad. And I think that's an interesting twist, because they might have done, he's a bad dad, and then he becomes a good dad. He wants to hang out with his kids. But this entire, what's consistent is he's a great dad, but he's just kind of not a great husband.
Yeah. And well, that's one of my last scenes that I have here is the custody hearing.
Yeah.
Mr. Hillard, you've been able to fool a lot of people into believing that you're a 60-year-old woman. No easy task. And your little speech seemed to be very heartfelt and genuine. But I believe it to be a terrific performance by a very gifted actor, nothing more.
No, it's not that.
The reality, Mr. Hillard, is that your lifestyle over the past months has been very unorthodox. And I refuse to further subject three innocent children to your peculiar and potentially harmful behavior.
That seems sad.
Yeah, it's sad.
Yeah. Especially that's because the judge is like, you're just a great actor. And he's like, well, I understand why you reached that conclusion.
That's really, sad. I forgot about that line. That line hurts.
It's not as sad as, you know, seeing Charlie walk away from his dad and just cry in the distance.
Really? You think so? The Santa Claus?
That part's really sad.
It's really sad. Though to be, again, to be fair, totally understandable and justifiable from the court. Mm-hmm. Like, if someone brought this case into the judge, be like, I don't know what the fuck I'm looking at, but you are, yeah, you are trying to, like, I don't know, you think you're Santa Claus? Fuck you. Get out of here.
Any other scenes you want to call out?
No, I don't know. No more.
All right. Let's move on to things that didn't work on this viewing for us. All right. I got to be honest here. Uh-huh. This pissed me off. Let the kids watch a half an hour of Dick Van Dyke. They were at school all day. Let's just say from between 3 and 7 o'clock, they're in Mrs. Doubtfire's hands. Let them watch half an hour of Dick Van Dyke. I mean, when I came home, I'd watch, an episode of Family Feud after school, and then I would do my shit, and I think I did just fine in life. Let them decompress, and then you make Natalie go upstairs and do her homework. Natalie's 5. What 5-year-old has 3 hours of homework that they have to do? Okay? Fuck that. And then the next day, Miss Always Do Your Homework is out at the park playing soccer and riding bikes with the kids. Do all three of them not have homework on that day? Come on. Be consistent, Mrs. Doubtfire.
I kind of agree. The problem is that I don't understand his motivation in this scene. Is he, like, trying to turn them against Mrs. Doubtfire so that he can go back? Like, Sally Fields is forced to make them go back to the father? I don't know. I don't understand that.
I think he's just trying to kind of prove to himself and to his wife that, like, I can do this. Like, I can kind of make my kids do the right thing. And he's probably trying to get them to earn a little bit of respect because he knows that Liddy's kind of frustrated at him or her. But I think it was just, you're right, it is inconsistent, but obviously he's not going to use that time to play around with them and do nothing because then he's going to lose the job. Watch half an hour of Dick Van Dyke. Let him watch some TV.
But the fact is, like, they're doing all these chores and he's just reading the newspaper, drinking lemonade and everything. Mm-hmm. It's just weird when the first introduction, in every other scene, Mrs. Doubtfire is like the perfect nanny. That's why I agree. It's a weird scene. It's a weird scene where every other scene he's like picture perfect and he knows exactly what the kids want. Mm-hmm. But maybe it's trying to grow into having a little discipline, that kind of thing.
That's all I think it is.
Yeah. Yeah, fine. That's fine. Want to know something I think doesn't hold up?
Go for it.
The needle drops. Those are the more transphobic things in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Dude looks like a lady. Luck be a lady. What else was there?
I just remember the dude looks like a lady thing, and that's where more of the scenes of, oh, ha, 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 it's a man dressed up as a woman.
What's your take on the scene where the purse snatcher tries to grab Mrs. Doubtfire's purse, and Daniel's like, knock it off, beat it?
That's funny. Because
okay, yes.
I thought that was funny. I thought was kind of funny, but wild, is... the bus driver was flirting with him, and mm-hmm. then he had, like, his dress up a little bit, so it was just a very hairy leg. He's like, oh, Mediterranean look. It's very natural. I'm into that. creepy. Or it's almost like, oh, this is, like, the life of a woman is having to deal with creepy catcalling, and everywhere you go, someone's flirting with you.
Mm-hmm.
It was just... I was just surprised that we didn't see the bus driver a third time. I think we only saw him twice. So there wasn't, like, a rule of thirds.
I always felt bad for that bus driver. He just seemed lonely and kind. He's like, hope he got somewhere nice and warm to go back to.
Well, I mean, it was being creepy. He was flirting.
He was just a kindly old
flirting.
Gentleman. Okay, another question. And this I'm sure you'll have some thoughts on about, you know, just because you want to spend more time with your dad doesn't mean that you don't think your parents should have gotten divorced. But Lydia and Chris were just, like, hanging out with Stu every time he came. They seemed to love him. And, I mean, I think I answered my own question by saying they're not saying our parents need to be together. We're just saying we want to spend more time with our dad. But they are so buddy-buddy with this guy.
It draws into question, how long is this actually going on for? Because
they,
like,
said,
oh,
2 months.
Yeah, which doesn't really make sense because he's like, oh, I'm crazy about these kids. It just seems a very, very too soon thing. Mm-hmm. Very, very too soon of everything. It sounds like, but they've dated before, was the idea, her and Stu.
Yeah, it sounds like they went to college together. She said something. He said something like, oh, our junior year of college. So that's, I think that's where they had their history.
And it seems like she probably should have told Robin Williams at some point, Daniel, that, hey, is it okay if I introduce them to the kid? I don't know. Maybe that's it. I don't actually know how being divorced, that kind of thing works. But I feels like if you're, you should have some kind of communication there, because it's like, this is someone that's, if you want to have someone see as a parental figure, you should have some, not like they can say you shouldn't, you can't see them, but more so like a heads up in some way. I don't know. Or introducing them. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I get it.
At least it's weird that it, especially when they're in the middle of a divorce, like they, in a custody battle, I feel like that should have come up through the court in some kind of way.
I don't know enough to talk about that. I don't either. But,
you know, when my parents got divorced, the custody was interesting.
Here's Trevor reenacting his version of Marriage Story.
No, it's more so, the Fablemans.
Squid and the Whale. Oh, yeah.
Look at the mirror. Hey.
All right. Why? Why did Daniel and Mrs. Doubtfire agree to go to the joint dinner? For the story, for the movie, I get it. Mrs. Doubtfire, yeah. Colin's sick. You can't go. Come on.
I know.
No.
Well, Natalie made her promise. And I think he just wanted to spend more time with the kids, is what it was. I know. I get it, AJ. I get it. It's just you have to kind of buy in a little bit just to make the situation work. But it does. You could have made it written. You could have wrote it better to make it more believable. Fine. Sure.
Right.
I'll see you there.
Yeah.
It's a nitpick.
It is. And it leads to the scene, the big climactic scene. I'm not going to, you know, knock the scene, but God, that's like, come on. You just say no. Just come on. He's impersonating Nancy Reagan. He should know her catchphrase. Well, he impersonated Ronald. He said, you know, Nancy and I are still trying to find the other half of my head. So he should know her catchphrase. That's the other half of his head has the catchphrase. Yeah, that's all I had for things that don't hold up well. What about you?
I mostly talked about it, like the scene that you were saying when he's peeing standing up. That scene, it's mostly those jokes and some of the homophobic jokes. And, like, the bus driver stuff.
The bus driver stuff is... I don't know why. I mean...
Well, it's just more like... It's,
I thought it was sweet.
Well, he's creepy. I don't think he's being sweet. I think he's being... You're not a woman on a bus at night alone, and the bus driver is taking you somewhere. I think you'd have a different perspective.
Fair. The one line that I was, frankly, expecting you to call out, Trevor, was on the scene where he's pretending to be all the different people. There was a line where he says, I don't work well with males because I used to be one.
Oh, yes, that one. Well, I said that scene, there's some stuff that doesn't hold up well, but the bit is good. And there are some scenes where he's impersonating other cultures, like he impersonates Gandhi and puts on an Indian accent. That stuff doesn't really hold up. It doesn't really work today. Though, again, Robin Williams is a genius at voice acting, so he's just doing anything and everything. And in the 93, that was just commonplace. You know?
Yeah, precisely.
It's just commonplace to do that kind of the no job or I am job. What is it? I am job, he says. Obviously doesn't hold up. And it's weird that they said because I used to be one when this whole movie is kind of based on that and some of the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think this movie is super, super like turfy, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is more progressive than I would have thought. And not as deep into offensive humor that I thought, because it's crazy. Most of the jokes revolve around him just putting up this facade. It's not, the jokes don't really have to do with him as Robin Williams dressed up as a woman. It's dressed up as Mrs. Doubtfire, which I think works.
Couldn't agree more.
Anyway, I don't have too much aside from those ones I've listed. And I mean, you'll know the jokes. There are just a couple of scenes that we've mentioned that are like, oh yeah, this is where people will have the biggest issue with. And those are fair.
Any adult jokes, Trevor?
I think we've talked a lot. There's a whole bunch of sex jokes. There's a whole bunch of just talking about sex in general. Like they had a discussion about sex. Like it's weird. Mrs. Doubtfire and Sal, Sally Field's character. They're just sitting at dinner just talking about sex and like all that kind of stuff.
How was he on a scale of 1 to 10? But it's enough of an innuendo. Like you're, this is perfect for adult joke. But if you're a kid and you hear, how was he on a scale of 1 to 10? That part was just okay. Like that's not something you're really going to pay mind to as a child.
Freaking hysterical now.
Yeah.
Also, there's a line when during the scene where he's eating dinner with the Chinese food, takeout boxes, and like, these are my goddamn kids too. When she says something and he says like, oh, are you offering? Because like something about like sex or something. He's like, oh, are you offering? She says, not anymore. What's the change? Yep. That was pretty funny. That was harsh.
Yeah. I got one where Chris is talking about, what'd you get me for my birthday? He says, I got a surprise for you.
Stripper.
He says, a stripper? Two strippers?
It's wild. And I think what it shows, that he's way too loosey-goosey. He's like, yes, strippers. Fun.
Yeah. And then there was, in terms of Robin Williams, again, he says a lot of things that are quiet and like implied, like that scene where he lists like 15 different sex euphemisms. There's one moment when he talks about the car, he specifically says compensating for smaller genitals. And that would be something that, again, as a kid, you probably wouldn't want to hear or have your kids hear.
Sure.
Do you have a drinking game?
Every time he does a reference slash different voice for someone, you take it.
Oh, that's right. Good.
And I that's think really the good. Scene where he's doing the impression showcase at the employment office, you can maybe just do as much as you want. You don't have to drink like, oh, you'd take like
waterfalls.
Yeah. Do some kind of waterfall or chug at that point. But it's scattered about throughout the thing where he's doing different voices and things. That's for your moments you can drink. But yeah, I mean, honestly, it's a weirdly spaced one, but I was noticing how much he'd do like little fun references. It reminded me a lot of him as the genie in Aladdin.
Yes, very much so. I had chug every time that there's some sort of switch. So
my God,
every time he starts off as Mrs. Doubtfire and then turns into Daniel, and then the next scene he's Mrs. Doubtfire. So at the end of the movie, when he's switching a lot, you're going to be drinking a lot.
fun.
So every time he's one person, and then either live change or the next scene, a different person, drink.
Perfect.
Member berries. You got any member berries, Trevor?
Well, we got to see this house.
We did. This is a fun story from Trevor and I in 2015 when we were working together in San Francisco. We were taking an Uber around the city, and we were just in the back of the Uber, and the guy's like, do you want to go see the Mrs. Doubtfire house? And we were like, yeah, we want to go see the Mrs. Doubtfire house. I said, it's on Steiner Street, right? He's like, yeah, it is on Steiner Street, because I know my Mrs. Doubtfire trivia. So we went and we saw it, and of course there were a bunch of cars right there, but we just drove by it. Yeah,
oh,
it's an
cool.
enormous house. Like, she must be doing bank with her design business to provide for three children and a guy who doesn't work.
I mean, all movies kind of have an unrealistic, oh, this is our house.
Yeah.
Like the Home Alone dad, what does he do?
Well, I mean, that one makes a little bit more sense because he's taken these big vacations. They're just clearly friggin' rich.
Yeah, but like, what does he do?
He's in the mafia.
Oh, you think so?
He's in the Sopranos in the Mafia.
Oh, okay.
I think he might be an agent, but he's definitely in the Sopranos. Mara Wilson, obviously, big member Barry there.
Yep.
She was also in Miracle on 34th Street, 1994 version, and Matilda, naturally. And
the
then I mentioned this earlier. Polly Holiday is from one of the Marvas, the older Marva from The Parent Trap, like the older counselor.
Yeah.
Pack your bags.
I'd say, aside from this, this reminds me of movies on ABC Family and kind of knowing when the commercials hit. And there is something a little bit magical about watching movies on cable.
It's nice.
You
catch a little bit of it. You notice the scenes that have been cut. I like it. I like just catching like 20 minutes of a time of these movies.
Heck yeah,
I think that's it for Member Berries. Or at least for me. Well, one question for you. Have you seen the deleted scenes from this movie?
No, I have not. Well,
I
don't think so.
They kind of made their rounds a couple of years ago. I think they kind of blew up in like 2016-ish, but there was, or 2018. But there was a lot of additional moments that added to the drama. So there was one moment where, and I think this was all after Daniel got exposed, and it was a scene where like Lydia was at a spelling bee, and she wanted, like, Daniel had to come in late, and he tried to sit down next to them, but someone had taken their seat. And then they, like, he, Daniel, and Laura, like, get into an argument in the aisle while Lydia's trying to, like, spell a word. And then there's a moment where they have a big fight in the foyer, and Lydia's, like, overlooking the stairs, like, I hate you both. So there's a lot more dramatic content in this movie that you can look it up. They're all on YouTube. But I understand why they cut it, because it makes it a lot more of a drama when, to your earlier point, they were trying to mainly go for a comedy here.
Yeah, I feel like, I think maybe we could have used one more scene of Robin Williams and Sally Fields as a marriage. Something, like one other one, because it jumps straight from their first interaction is them getting divorced.
You're absolutely right. But so the movie's already 2 hours long.
It is. It doesn't feel that long, though. It's just really entertaining the whole way through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a comedy, which, you know, 2 hour comedies are long. And I feel like you could have had one more quick scene. But yeah, I don't know.
I agree. So I mean, I get why they jump right into it, but sure, if this were a miniseries, give us more scenes beforehand. How do we make this in 2023 and beyond? Now, you know, obviously there was a sequel on the studio's radar for decades. It was actually looking pretty promising before William's death. He had pitched, I forget if it was Chris Columbus or someone else, but someone had pitched what they believed was an actually great script and a great idea to Robin Williams. Now, of course, he said this after the passing, so we don't really know if it was that or not, but, you know, we'll never be able to see it. They're very open about the fact that you cannot make another Mrs. Doubtfire without Robin Williams, just because it's so hand in hand. And I think in a lot of the pushback to what you were talking about earlier is that this certainly doesn't resonate with certain members of certain communities. And so it's just a movie that could you make a drag movie this, even though it's not technically a drag movie yes, it technically is. But could you make a movie like this at all in this time period?
There is a Broadway version of this. I've heard it's not very.
No, there you go.
It's not the same. It's not very. And there are a lot of musicals from movies that are very good. This seems like a perfect perfect production. Like, this seems like it would be a great musical. I haven't seen it, obviously, so, you know, fucking sue me, but I'm talking out of my ass, but I've heard it wasn't great. So I feel like a movie like this, where it's just someone dressing up as someone else, I don't know. I think you could easily make it. It's a simple premise. Just make it a somewhat, as long as it's progressive enough, and as long as the butt of the joke isn't,
they're trans and they're funny.
Yes, that kind of thing. It isn't like, whoa, you're in the woman's bathroom. Whoa. Like, even in Mrs. Doubtfire, he's in the women's bathroom, says, oh, didn't know there was someone in here. Walks out as a guy, and she just, like, looks over. The woman in the bathroom kind of just does a double take, and like, whatever. Because he's dressed up in the red suit. To see Mrs.
The quick change joke, Lunder. Yeah.
Yeah, the quick change joke. It's more like double take, like, huh?
Mm-hmm.
They could have done it way worse. They could have done things that do not hold up well in that scene, in that bit, that little comic bit, but they didn't.
Right.
But no, I don't know. I don't have any other insights onto remaking it or the Broadway production, anything like that.
All right. Well, with that said, let's mosey on over to our final verdict. Trevor, do you think this movie is a marriage or a divorce?
Well, in this case, in the movie, they should not have stayed together. They should have gotten divorced. So what's the... Is marriage a positive thing in this, in your question?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, this is a fine marriage. I think it largely, and for the most part, holds up completely. I will say, obviously, as a cis man, I can't say all of the things as like, oh yeah, it's not transphobic. If you find it offensive or harmful or not, you know, just makes you upset, absolutely. Your feelings are valid and totally all those things. To me, I think that there's a lot of fantastic comedy and performances from Robin Williams. And I just really love watching Robin Williams because he is a tremendous actor and performer. And I'm so glad that we did get the movies that he was in, and we did get the performances that we do have with him. He's just terrific. Gone way too early and way too soon and very, very sad. So it's nice that we have this movie with him in it that can capture some of his magic. And I just found myself laughing so much at just his, it's just so much fun. So for this 30th anniversary, I recommend giving it a watch. It's on Disney Plus. It's on some other things probably, but yeah, give it a watch and make the decision yourself.
Yeah, you've got the VHS lying around somewhere. You know you do at your parents'
house. I probably do.
And everybody listening, probably the same thing. But yeah, I completely agree. I think this is a happy marriage, even though it's not. But yeah, this movie holds up. It's grin-inducing. It's dramatic. It's some of Robin's most legendary standout stuff. There's kids involved. And when you're watching this scene, or when you're watching this movie, I guarantee you there will be scenes where you're like, I don't remember that part happening. And that's because they cut it for TV and you've watched it on TV so many times if you're like Trevor and I. So yep. Go ahead, give this a watch on Disney Plus. It's a good Thanksgiving movie. And just imagine walking into your like Thanksgiving and Mrs. Doubtfire's on in the background. You know you're not getting up until the turkey's ready. So definitely have a happy Thanksgiving to everybody listening. We appreciate you and we hope that you enjoy watching Mrs. Doubtfire today and every day and tomorrow for its 30th anniversary.
Yes, we are very thankful once again for all of you for bearing with this schedule that we had, but we're back to our usual schedule next month. It's in 2 weeks even. Just literally 2 weeks we're back to our regular schedule.
And what are we back with, Trevor?
We are back with, well, it's the kickstart of officially the holiday season, and so we're going to be watching The Holdovers. I'm just kidding. But we are going to be watching a Christmassy movie. So yeah, we're doing this kind of Christmas movie. It involves a Christmas character, a mythological character, snowman type. It's not Frosty the Snowman, but
we're doing the Santa Claus 3 again?
We're doing the Santa Claus 3 again. I've never seen this movie. I really don't know what it's about. I'm going out of this. AJ should have teed it up.
Well,
see you next week.
Well, before we say see you in 2 weeks, of course, a special thank you and a shout out to our patrons, Emil, Travis Beal, Ben Franke, Ray Munoz, Steven Schinder, Trevor Sprouse, John Urbaniak. We'll have a Patreon episode for you in December. And for everybody else, thank you for listening. If you would like to have sponsor credit in every episode and to get bonus episodes every single month that we do bonus episodes, you can head over to our Patreon, sign up, and you can get all the information you need there. We appreciate you. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy start of Christmas season unofficially. And we will see you in 2 weeks for the Old Kids Movies. Thanks for listening.